Welcome back, listeners. I met Jim Kudal, my guest this half hour, through, I think, one of the great novelists of this century and part of last century. Is that right, Jim? Is that how we met?
I don't remember exactly.
Kevin Guilfoyle was his name. I should mention him so you can go buy his books.
Yeah, I think that Kevin was the connection.
Jim is one of the most interesting creative guys I know, and we are hooked up again because he runs an outfit called Field Notes, which is, it's such a cool thing. It's a memo book brand. It's headquartered here. You can easily look it up by going to fieldnotesbrand.com. How did this come to be, Jim? Remind me and people, will you?
Yeah, the short story is we were a pretty typical design and advertising consultancy for many years.
And successful, too.
Yeah, we did work for Let Us Entertain You, for the Blackhawks, for the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Astros, lots of different companies. But we started a website when people were starting websites, and we got sort of a blog, and we got a lot of people coming to it, and we sort of got tired of doing work for other people.
Promoting other people's businesses, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And so we kind of messed around with a couple of different ideas, and a friend of mine, Aaron Draplin, who's a designer in Portland, sent me this little notebook that he had made by hand that he called Field Notes, and then he as a Christmas present, and he called me and said, "What do you think about my stupid notebook?" And I said, "I don't think it's so stupid, Aaron. Yeah. Why don't we make some of these?" And the first day we put them for sale, we had 13 orders. And little by little, it's been growing. And we, over the course of its growth, we managed to get ourselves out of all of our client work. And now all we ever do is Field Notes. And
how many years now?
About 12 now.
Wow.
But seriously, probably 8. Or 9 serious years, and we do a full line of products, all made in America, actually all printed in the Midwest.
That was really, I remember, that was really important to you, that this, obviously you could do it much cheaper elsewhere, but it was very important to you to have these all American made, wasn't it? Remind me.
Yeah, and partially because the original inspiration for Field Notes were the promotional notebooks that seed companies and tractor companies and fence companies would give to farmers
in the 1920s
and 30s. So that was sort of the original inspiration. So we wanted to keep it USA, and we wanted to keep it Midwestern focused. And so we have a full line of products, but 4 times a year we do a limited edition.
Yeah.
And we're talking today about our current limited edition, which is called the Chicago Look. And frequently these editions are reaching back to a chapter in American design, typographic, and publishing history. And this one is a really interesting and happens to be Chicago-centric.
It's so fascinating
chapter.
To me. I'm going up to their place tomorrow to interview these guys.
You're going to see Kelsey and Andrew? Yeah, they're amazing.
Well, tell me how you came to them. How did you know them for a long time? Because
we knew of them, but we didn't know them. And then Brian Bedell, who's one of our longtime designers here, was at a gathering in Two Rivers, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place up there called the Hamilton Wood Type and Printing Museum. And they have a gathering of creative people every year. And Kelsey and Andrew made a presentation about the Beverly Sign Company, and Brian was at the thing.
Oh, wow.
And he got back to the office, and he's like, oh, my God, we have to do this. You know, like, and it's a chapter of Chicago history. We pride ourselves on knowing the history of design in Chicago, and we didn't really know anything about this.
I pride myself on knowing that, you know, the history of many things in Chicago. I'd never, ever heard of this.
Right.
And they have created a book, have they not? The Golden Era of Sign Design, the Rediscovered Drawings of Chicago's Beverly Sign Company. And this was the inspiration for you. So you called and said, hi, we do Field Notes, and we'd like to collaborate with you. I mean, it must be more complicated than that.
No, it's pretty much that. it's pretty much that. And we struck a deal, and they wanted to get, we tried to coordinate it with the release of their book, so Field Notes has a pretty big reach these days, and the people that it reaches are, in a lot of cases, creative people who buy design books. So it's been a pretty good collab. We're selling a lot of notebooks, and they're selling a lot of their books, and you know, it's been a lot of fun to do it. Like, I'll tell you want me to tell the Beverly story as quickly as I can?
You don't have to be quick. You're on for the whole half hour. All I want to do I want to tell, I just want to mention a couple things, because I was looking up some stuff I'd written about you before, and one thing that charmed the pants off me was, I'm gonna do it now. One of the firm's slogans comes from Kudal's grandfather, Nels, with whom he lived for a time after Nels' wife's death. He noticed that his grandfather was tearing pieces of newspaper in order to write notes on them. He asked, that's you asking, Jim, Grandpa, why don't you just use a notebook? You might lose that little piece of paper. His grandfather said, quote, I'm not writing it down to remember it later. I'm writing it down to remember it now. That has stuck with me forever, whenever that was, five, 10 years
me
ago.
Too.
It's so wonderful. Yeah. Okay, so let's go. Again, I'm going to tell you, Field Notes brand
is... But it is true.
Yeah, like, I know.
It's so true. It's like they did, I think it was at Dartmouth, they did a study where they had half of the students that were hearing a lecture write their notes by hand, and half of them take notes on their laptops.
Uh-huh.
And then they did a test, and it was conclusive that the people who were taking notes on the laptop, the lecture was going in their ears and coming out their fingers.
Exactly.
But the people who were writing it by hand could not write fast enough to get the lecture verbatim, so they were making editorial decisions about what was important as they were taking notes. And that's the key about writing something down by hand.
No question.
That's exactly what my grandfather said.
No
question. And he was a reporter.
I know.
You've worn out 10 million reporters' notebooks.
I know. Exactly, I know. Thing. It's so, you know, that has stayed with me forever. Now, you were talking, though. You were talking about the nice McLennans, the two
McClellan,
people.
Yeah.
McClellan, Kelsey and Andrew, who you're collaborating with on this latest venture on Field Notes. Limited. Is it a limited? Are these? It's been so long. You know, I'll tell you something interesting, too. This is not my. I'm not trying to take over your slot here, but. My daughter Fiona has graduated college, which means, or will in June, which means that I don't have to pay her tuition any longer. So
I'm getting a raise.
Huh? Yeah, I'm right.
Getting a raise.
It is like getting, no kidding. And so I decided the first financial venture I did was the unbelievable, whatever it is, $120 to become a subscriber to Field Notes. So I'm just, I'm saying that I'm proud of that because I couldn't do it before. So, you were talking about the Beverly Sign Company and the what is really, as I've been digging into it, really a remarkable and very cool history of sign making in Chicago.
Yeah. They were, they were on the South Side in Beverly.
Sure.
And they were basically this is pre-plotting and pre-computers and pre-everything, when all the signs were made by hand. And they had a team of designers and a team of wall dogs. And wall dogs was the name that they gave to the people who actually painted the signs on the overpasses and on the sides of buildings. And on the billboards. And the Beverly Sign Company got pretty famous in the middle part of the last century for their... the look and feel of their type, the colors they use, the panelized compositions, the typographic treatments, and that sort of became known as the Chicago look.
Yep.
And many people came and worked at Beverly and then left to go to L.A. and left to go to Philly and start their own sign company. And so that Chicago look sort of starting here sort of went outwards across the country. And there's a moment... There's a film at fieldnotesbrad.com. If you just click on the sign that's right on the front page,
you
have a short, it's about 8-minute documentary about Beverly and about Andrew and Kelsey.
It's a very, and who made that film? That's a very cool movie.
Steve Delahoyt is our
filmmaker.
Yeah. Sure. And so we actually had them paint a sign in our office over on Racine.
Mm-hmm.
just because we wanted to see the process.
Sure.
And we did a little time lapse of them painting the sign. And so, you know, until like you could go to Kinko's and order any old sign you wanted, these were all made by hand. And when you look through the book of the golden era of sign design, which is available at fieldnotesband.com and also available at Heart and Bone Signs, you'll see signs that you recognize. Like from, you know, if you're a certain age, you're like, oh, I know that farmer's market sign from on Elston. I know this sign. I know that. And then you start to think and they all sort of fit together. So it's a really short, I mean, maybe 50-year chapter in publishing advertising and American design, and it's Chicago-focused, and we really wanted to give it, you know, to get this story. We sell notebooks, but we also sell stories.
You sure do.
And we wanted to get this story out there so people could have the same sense of excitement that we did when we first looked at these documents that had been saved from the ash heap that have been turned into this book.
And
that's a funny story, too. This kid named Dan Coyler worked at Beverly, and they were throwing everything out, and including all of these beautiful drawings that the designers had done. And he said to his union boss, he said, can I just take these home instead of throwing them out? And I think the line was, the boss said, I don't care what the hell you do with them, just get them out of here. And so, yeah, and so those fell into the hands of Kelsey and Andrew, and being historians as well as excellent sign painters themselves, they have managed to save all of this and do the research and create this book. And, you know, Field Notes just kind of came along for the ride to help get the message out about their book and to let more people know about the Beverly Sign Company.
Well, all of you who read the Tribune on Sunday will see my story about this very thing, about Jim and these nice people who I haven't met, but I'm meeting tomorrow afternoon, because I was just so grabbed by this, because I didn't know any. I had never even heard, and you would think I would know something about it, Jim. I'd never even heard the phrase wall dogs, ever.
Yeah, I never did, too. I never did either. And I love that phrase. It's such a great
like, those must have been some characters.
They were characters.
Jim Kudal runs an operation called Kudal Partners, but basically what they do is create these amazing notebooks. For that, go to the website fieldnotesbrand.com, and you'll see it's a lovely, lovely, lovely kind of gallery. You do, Jim, do you still do 4 special editions a year?
Yep, we do one spring, summer, fall, and winter every year. We're on this is our 66th limited
edition. No. Yes. Are they all still available, or are they, as I said?
No. Out of the 66, a few of them have become regular products, like our National Parks line.
Right.
But mostly when they're gone forever.
Wow.
So you can buy them while they're available, or you can buy a subscription and make sure you get them all.
Yes, I am now.
Because
I don't pay college tuition anymore, I am your newest your newest subscriber. Because I bought some of these for Fiona through the years. I love the National Parks one was great. I remember Mackinac, that's part of the National Parks. The Dime Novel was a cool one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
The baseball one, what was that called? Day Game?
Game, yeah. And I think that was the connection, because that was a green book for the grass, a sand-colored book for the infield, and a white book with red type for the baseball.
God, they were beautiful.
And it was at that time that we published Drive into the Gap, which was Kevin Guilfoyle's memoir about his father and Roberto Clemente. And about Bobby Clemente.
Is that still available?
Yeah, we still have them at fieldnotesbrand.com.
Well, you have a lot of stuff there. I mean, it's like we're just talking about the next, the latest special edition, but the fieldnotesbrand.com is a marvelous kind of a bazaar of all sorts of cool things. And it's not, as we've talked before, this is not some kind of, I never thought of it as some kind of nostalgic trip. I think it's as hip as it gets, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we just took it on faith when we started this thing that if we were interested in something and we were excited to dig into it and do the research and do the production, that there would be enough people who are like us that would be interested in it as well, that we could be successful. And so we just follow our curiosity. You know, we do these four limited editions a year mainly because we have a short attention span and we love jumping into a new project, you know, and doing the research. And like, we're here to make notebooks, but we're here to learn too.
So, what percentage are those four a year of the number of times people, of the number of suggestions that people come in and go, hey, I saw like an old fire hydrant. I think, why don't we do some fire hydrant stuff? You must get a number from the people you work, from your colleagues, a number of suggestions throughout the year.
We have a thing called the book, and we just have all the possible ideas that we've ever come up with in this book, and it's always something new, and someone brings up something new, and our fan base is constantly writing us asking us to do this or that. And so, you know, we just kind of keep our eyes open. We have a radar open on for ideas, and you know, we're pretty much planned through the spring of next year because it takes a while to make these notebooks.
Are you the final word, or do you sit around in some kind of collaborative way and
well,
say
it's
that's
all collaborative, but somebody's got to give it the thumbs up or thumbs down, and that's me. Yeah,
exactly.
So, and I mean, we have a small team. There's only nine of us. I mean, we sell millions of notebooks all over the world. But
yeah.
And we kind of look like a bigger company from the outside, but, you know, and maybe we could do better if we got bigger, but we're having a lot of fun, and there's a lot to be said for that. I've been in the ad world, I've been in the design world, high pressure, doing work, you know, you work on something for 6 months and then you don't want to show it to anybody. That's, you know.
But then again, I've always thought, not to diminish the ad world, but. But it's when that happens, it's not yours, you know. You can say, oh, I made that drawing. I used to know a guy who claimed to have invented the slogan "Black is beautiful" for some product, and I thought, wow, that's pretty good. How much did you make for that? He goes, I didn't make anything.
Right.
And I said, well, how do you prove that it's yours? He goes, well, do you believe me? I go, not really. You know, no, we're sitting at Ricardo's or something. I go, oh, no, I don't really believe you, but I guess you can say it all the time. That whole sort of the creative ownership, it's tough, I suppose. It's interesting you say that because in that kind of aim, it's no longer yours. You work so hard and all the sweat and, you know, brain activity, and it just goes out in the world.
There's something to be said for making a physical object. When we're done, like, we tell these stories, we make the films that go with them, we do the research, but at the end of the day, there's a thing. Like, we're making a thing, and we're into paper and staples, and we're into printing techniques and various old school techniques, and we're, you know, like, all of that, the actual physical making of the notebooks is very satisfying.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Like, that when you're done, we have this thing. Like, the last time I was on with you, we were talking about our Great Lakes edition.
Yeah, I love that.
Like,
love that.
Super popular one. Totally sold out now. But, you know, we're like, okay, we know the Great Lakes. But then you start doing research, and you're like, well, we don't know the Great Lakes at all. You know, like, we got to tell people about this, you know? Like, so it's like... it's satisfying intellectually, and then from a physical standpoint, the actual making the products is really exciting. Like, and people love them and they buy them, so we keep making them.
Yeah,
so.
It's a really great company. You must be, you know, having had a run in conventional, if I can call it that, conventional advertising and the commercial side of it. You must sometimes just go, God, am I lucky?
Yeah. I mean, I am. I have a really great team. Everybody's been with me for a long time. We're all pulling on the same end of the rope, and we don't have the high stress levels that you have when you're competing in the design world or in the advertising world. We have our own kind of stress. I mean, we have to be successful, and we have to make deadlines, and we have to do budgets and all of that sort of stuff. But, you know, we've got four really juicy, fun projects we're curious people, and you know, having four really cool projects to do every year is exciting.
Let me ask you one final question. Thanks again for coming on. I miss you anyway. And you know, I prefer that we were at some place that served alcohol, but you know, you can't have everything.
We'll fix that.
With Kevin Guilfoyle, the greatest novelist of the 20th century and the early part of the 21st. From the time you make the decision to say, okay, we're going to do a notebook based on Chicago radio stations from. Don't ever do that, please. From that point to the first of your subscribers gets a notebook in their hands, how long does that generally take?
A minimum of 3 months, probably.
Okay.
And we can go fast if we need to go fast. We've had a few things where we had to switch gears really quickly. But it takes a long time to print hundreds of thousands of notebooks, and it takes a long time to make the film and to write the copy and to get it together so that we can it takes a long time to ship them out to all of our subscribers. We have thousands and thousands of subscribers. So we have we try to be working on the one after the next one all the time.
Gotcha.
We try to have But sometimes somebody has an idea at the last minute, and we're like, oh, my God, we got to do that. Groom that other thing. Let's get on this right away and rush it through.
Sometimes we don't
have an idea at all, and we need to have an idea. And that's good. That's a good kind of a pressure, too. So.
FieldNotesBrand.com, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not writing it down to remember it later.
You don't have to write it down.
Remember it now.
My listeners are so smart, they don't even have to write it down. Field Notes Brand. Jim, I hope to see you soon. I may call you in the next week to talk about the nice people I am meeting tomorrow.
I can't wait to see your article in the Tribune.
Thanks, Jim. Take care. Love to the family.